Good morning, everyone. Please pray with me, O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Mother.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Master's beautiful chant, I am the bubble, make me the sea. To attain to that experience means that your sense of individuality dissolves and you merge into the great infinite spirit of God. If you can imagine in your mind's eye that around you is a bubble, an aura of energy that is the sum total of your individuality in God. And that at the outer reaches of this bubble of energy around you is a great sea, a great ocean of bliss, of peace, of the absolute spirit nature of God. And that individuality of your soul gradually dissolves and you expand out, you merge into that infinite sea of consciousness. Oftentimes when these words are used, the individual imagines that they somehow go out beyond themselves. And yet this is not possible. Rather, it is your identity expands. What you identify as you merges into a greater sense of you. And now you identify yourself with all your surroundings. You're no longer separated from those around you or the objects within a room or the walls or the ceilings or the floor. You merge into identity with all of these. And then you go on expanding and you go out into nature. As Master said in his beautiful poem that you felt that he was the grass that people were walking upon, the trees waving in the wind. And you merge yourself into the allness of creation. And yet you're more than that. You're a spirit. You're the spirit that pervades all creation. You're the Christ consciousness. And so you feel your unity with all things, all nature. You go out and you expand into this entire world and you feel yourself merging into the world consciousness. But it doesn't bind you to the world because you feel yourself to be a part of the spirit that was before the world was. You go out into the stars, the solar system, all the planets, the sun, merging out into the Milky Way itself. And the Milky Way is one of tens of thousands and millions of other galaxies. There is no limit to your spirit. And now your identity is with the cosmos itself. And even beyond that, see how beautiful, how vast, how beyond conception in a human sense divine spirit is. Do not hitch yourself to a tiny little star of theological dogma. but rather merge yourself into the infinite star within your forehead that merges you into infinite spirit. What God is cannot be described, and yet we can experience it when we dive deep into meditation. Reading from an article by Master entitled The Great Fire. Evolution proceeds in linear form. First comes material, then intellectual, and then spiritual development. Then life again returns to the intellectual and the material planes. This drama of God is constantly going on. We, the actors of many races on the stage of time, play the drama of life again and again. But we must understand the purpose of this drama. We were put here in this world to play our parts well, and not to become enmeshed in it and identified with our roles. If only we could see with the eyes of God. But because we look with the eyes of narrowness and selfishness, we see life distorted. When we open our inner eyes, we behold the light of God. The consciousness of Christ is present everywhere, knocking on the closed eyelids of our soul. And all we have to do is to look within in order to see all differences vanish, all ignorance vanish. To one who has opened his inner eye, everything is one. You see how beautifully Master puts it so succinctly. In order to see the one, we turn within. We must remember that there is a way to solve this problem of material experience. Stars, planet, plants, animals, and human beings are all let loose on a beautiful stage of the cosmos. And we are just playing our assigned parts here. Very few people understand the meaning of the play because they do not pause to think about it. God did not make all people poor or all people millionaires, because if they were all alike, this drama could not go on. However, God does not want us to suffer because of these differences. Every actor must know whether he is playing the part of a king or of a servant, that he must play his part well, and he must know that he is only playing. So on earth, it doesn't matter whether we scrub floors or whether we are the leaders of great organizations. Unless man knows that he is playing on the stage of time, he is going to suffer from the consciousness of these differences in station and condition. On the stage, when actors play a different part, they remember that they are playing, and when they know that, they do not bemoan their particular parts, but play their roles to the best of their ability. Do you see? It is only when they take life too seriously that they suffer. While we recognize differences, yet we must not only know intellectually, but must feel spiritually, that one life pervades everything. We know that there is but one religion of God, one truth that underlies the different names of religion. That state of consciousness is very hard to attain unless one has self-realization. There are small waves and big waves, but they are all made of the same ocean. So when we stand aside and see impersonally every person and every religion, we shall see that everything is made of God. These are beautiful words and concepts, but how hard they are to actualize in our life. People hear the words, and you may accept them as true. But the moment you open your eyes and you go back out into this world, you see things that are happening in this world, and they disturb your peace of mind. You suddenly get identified with your role. You forget all about these beautiful words and concepts. And now you feel caught up in the things of this world. So you see, it's not so easy to actualize these words. And yet, this is what we must do. We must attain the self with a capital S realization in order to really be able to realize and manifest these great truths that are being spoken here. These are not just beautiful words. This is describing a reality that we can experience. Until we see in this way, we shall always appear to be different and to have troubles and difficulties. No man, no prophet will ever be able to wipe away all the differences of the earth. When you find yourself in consciousness of God, then differences will vanish and you will say, then life is sweet and death a dream. When thy song flows through me, then health is sweet and sickness a dream. When thy song flows through me, then praise is sweet and blame a dream. When thy song flows through me, then life is sweet and death a dream. When thy song flows through me. This is the highest philosophy. Do not be afraid of anything. Remember, even when tossing on a wave in a storm, you are still in the ocean. You must always keep the consciousness of God's presence. And again, taking the mind up higher, taking it into that high realm of complete and pure conscious awareness of the divine presence both within you and without. Yesterday we had a beautiful Silent Saturday where we spent 6 hours in silence and meditation. And these are wonderful times, and they are a challenge to many people. Some people don't come because they're afraid. They're afraid to become quiet. They're afraid whether they'll be able to maintain the stillness and the quietness. But without prolonged, longer meditation, you cannot dive deeper, nor can you soar higher. This is the admission price. We must make the effort in order to go deeper into God consciousness. It's an interesting thing that God showed me once of how the position of the head is very important. Occasionally people will be in the longer meditations and they'll go into the subconscious state of sleep. And sometimes there are some snores that occasion the going into the sleep state. And if you pay attention to the position of your head, this is what God showed me. When you drop the chin and it goes down, you're accessing the subconscious mind. And this is the sleep state. This is also the subconscious state of the mind. When your eyes are level and you're looking horizontally out into the world, you're then accessing the conscious mind state, the ordinary earthly state. When we go into meditation, we focus the attention up at the ajna, and the head slightly tilts upwards as we look up to the spiritual eye. Now we are going up into the superconscious state. That's an interesting fact, isn't it? The chin down is the subconscious state. Looking straight ahead is the conscious state. But when we turn the eyes up and we're looking upwards, we're accessing the superconscious state, the state that is manifesting directly from divine consciousness. And so when you go into meditation, keep the spine straight. And as you keep the spine straight, feel that your head is being tugged up just like by a small string is lifting your head up. And tuck your chin in just slightly. Don't exaggerate any of this. You don't want a painful position. But then keep your chin slightly tucked. And keep your head slightly rotated back, looking up to the third eye point. Put your hands in your lap and keep them upward facing. And this is the receptive state of meditation. Now your spine and your neck and your head are all in alignment. The spiritual energy can flow smoothly within you. Lift your sternum slightly, so that your stomach is lifted up and you're not putting too much pressure on your organs. keep your shoulders back and just slightly press the two shoulder blades towards each other. Now your lungs are wide open. And practice this until this becomes a very natural kind of state. Now your organs are free to function properly. Your lungs are more held wide open so that you're breathing easily. The spine, the neck, and the head are all in alignment so the energy may flow smoothly throughout. And now your spinal highway is open. And as you focus your attention on the ajna, the third eye point, and you focus your attention on the breath as you breathe, then you draw through your attention the life energy back from the afferent and the efferent nerves in the body. It happens naturally as you focus your attention at the ajna. The energy then is drawn up the superhighway of the spine and crosses from the medulla across to the ajna. The more you're able to focus upon the ajna, the more fully you merge into it, and all your life energy is merged into it. Now, whatever is necessary for the functioning of the body resides in the body. But as you focus very deeply, you can enter into a suspended state of animation. And here, your pulse can come down to very little or none at all. Your entire body goes into a suspended state. Now, if you were to cut your breath off artificially without this superconscious state, you would create damage within the body. But there's no fear of damage when you're entering into this higher state of consciousness. Everything is maintained because you have charged your entire body with life energy, with prana. And therefore, all your organs and everything inside is all kept in perfect functioning. Now you're merging into this higher state of Christ consciousness at the ajna. You've transcended thought in the ordinary sense, but awareness is absolutely intact. In fact, you are more aware. You are more conscious than you ever have been before. It is a totally natural state that you're entering into now. And it is this time that, because it is so natural, you oftentimes don't even realize what an uplifted state of consciousness you're in until you come back into what we might call more ordinary human state of consciousness. And then you realize how uplifted you are. But sometimes you're in this uplifted state and you don't completely are conscious of it because it feels totally natural to you. Now the consciousness has expanded. You are no longer strictly identified with the human body. I'm describing to you what I myself am experiencing as I'm talking about this. And now your consciousness merges out into all space, an unlimited feeling nature of all space. And you're aware that you have a body, you're slightly aware that you have a body, but it feels more like energy than something that's material. It tingles and it vibrates, and all the cells of your body are tingling, but also you feel the energy state of all creation. And more than that, you see the designer behind the design. You see the master architect's vision. You see the idea realm, and you see those ideas as perfect expressions of God. This is the perfection that Master is talking about. We will never find perfection through these two eyes and through the five senses. Jesus said, "You will have the poor with you always." There will always be disparity within the material realm. And if we see that as the be-all and end-all for happiness, then we will be always unhappy when we are wedded to this material form. There are those who seek to wipe out such differences, but it cannot be. Because once all differences are wiped out, then there is no creation. So are those who are the have-nots, so to speak, barred from happiness. And this is the great truth. This is the great truth. That happiness, real joy, does not come from our material possession. Certainly we need to have enough food to keep this body functioning. We need to have clean air and clean water. We need to have clothes. We need to have those things that are essential to the sustaining of this body. But real happiness does not come from those things. Real happiness comes from the inner joy of spirit. And then the man who lives in this world and has very, very little is truly can be great, a very great wealth in a spiritual sense. Ramana Maharshi, one of the great saints, one of the greatest saints of India, lived very simply. And if his clothes were torn, he would go over and he would find a needle that was growing on a tree. And he would use that needle and tie some thread to it, and he'd use that needle in order to sew his clothes up. His needs were very, very few. And he felt himself to be a servant of everybody who was around him. He would get up at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, and he would start chopping vegetables and grinding the different spices for the meals that were to be prepared that day. He would do it with great love and great care. He was very attentive to every detail, and he wasted not one ounce of food that was being prepared. And this is the way that he lived his life, in this great simplicity, and yet there was no one who would accuse this man of being poor, because he was not poor in consciousness. He was of great and immense wealth. He was a spiritual king, and yet he lived like a material pauper. And indeed, there is no one who can take your dignity from you, who can take your spiritual wealth from you. You may live very simply, and some of the greatest spiritual beings live in great simplicity. There are others who live in great opulence. But Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a man of great wealth to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is quite a thing. Why is it so difficult? Because it is difficult for the individual who has amassed wealth in his life, or wishes to amass great wealth in his life, to not see that it is his bank account, to see that it is not his bank account that provides the wealth for him, but God. And as God, through the agency of his business or inheritance or however he came by this wealth, that it is God who has provided through these means. And so when the man came to Jesus, asking him to what was needed, he had abided by all the rules and all the laws in life. And yet he had not attained this kingdom of heaven that Jesus was speaking of. And what, he was asking, must he do in order to attain to that? And Jesus peered into his heart, into his soul. And he saw that he was being defined by and reliant upon his wealth that he had received through his family. And so Jesus, the divine physician, made a prescription. And he said, leave all your wealth. He said, take all of your things, sell them, and then give it to the poor. Renounce all of these outer things that you rely upon, that you think that you need in order to have happiness. And the wealthy man turned away, and he was greatly saddened because he felt that he couldn't do this. And as a result of that, he kept himself outside of the kingdom of heaven. Tests come to every one of us upon the spiritual path. And we are all tested by the Guru, and we are all tested in different ways, in ways that perhaps we would never suspect. There have been those who have followed this path and have told me that they would be willing to lay down their lives for me and to give up their lives completely, to leave everything. And yet some of those very same people who said this would not today bother to drive across town in order to see me. It's a great mystery how God can open up the doorways, open up the gates, reveal great wonders to us, and then seemingly close those doors. And now those great visions, those great insights, that great understanding seems like a long lost dream. And those individuals don't go on to progress spiritually, but they slowly die an inward death. And perhaps they get preoccupied with the things of the world and become satisfied with those things again, but they don't make the spiritual progress. And even if they thought that they might at the time of their leaving and withdrawing, they don't do it. And so tests come to every one of us, and we must remain loyal. We must remain persevering. We must continue to strive and realize that God and the perfection in God that we are seeking does not reside in this world. For some of those, there were jealousy, there is anger, there is grief, there is sadness, there is all kinds of things that came up as tests. And so we must be willing to transcend those things if we're really to enter into the inner spiritual kingdom. This is not a path for the emotionally immature or those who are not willing to give all in order to receive all. One of the great paradoxes. And so Master continues, try to feel brotherhood with all nationalities. Real brotherhood can never come unless we feel it in our hearts. Such feeling can only be attained through self-realization and contact of God in our hearts. We must realize the life of Christ as He lived and try to find out how we can live as He lived. Christ had no nationality. He loved all races as children of God. Today we're hearing much about very narrow dogmas of following the Christ. And there's a lot of anger within these dogmas. And there's a lot of narrow-mindedness. And there's a lot that is not of the universal message that Jesus came to bring. We must expand our vision. We must look past the narrow differences that we find within other people. Everything will betray you if you betray God. So it is time to realize the spirit of unity with all men and to practice the feeling of that unity in the vastness of meditation. We must be very determined in that respect and shut out the world, lest the lesser thing of God's world attract our attention from Him. In the sanctum of your heart, there must be one power, one joy, one peace, God. If you have that realization, you will find Christ. And remember, in your outer life, you must be clean and kind to all people. Even if the greatest of sinners comes to you, consider him as a living brother, a sleeping brother. I think one of the great examples that we have that I referred to in the past is Gandhi. And at the end of his life, when the assassin came before him and shot him, and if you can imagine the shock of these bullets coming in and the pain that comes there, and knowing that you are leaving this body, and how did Gandhi respond? He pronounced to the man. And he repeated the name of God, Ram, 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 as he sank to his knees, pronouncing to the assailant, thinking of God, and finally falling into a state of unconsciousness, not really unconsciousness, because he awakened to the greater consciousness of God in that moment. And he expanded into the all-pervading spirit of God. And if we choose to, if we work for it, you see, this was the result of great work in his life, of constant sadhana. He was chanting God's name always. He was meditating on God. He was out in the world trying to serve God. He led an exemplary life in that sense. Destroy your moods. Trample them to dust. Be of even mind and say, I am fearless. I am made of the substance of God. I am a spark of the fire. I am an atom of the great fire. I am a cell in the vast body of the one Father. I and my Father are one. Be of even mind and say, I am fearless. I am made of the substance of God. I am a spark of the fire. I am an atom of the great fire. I am a cell in the vast body of the Father. I and my Father are one. And third time, will you please repeat after me? I am fearless.
I am fearless.
I am made in the substance of God.
I am made in the substance of God.
I am a spark of the fire.
I am a spark of the fire.
I am an atom of the great fire.
I am an atom of the great fire.
I am a cell in the vast body of the Father.
I am a cell in the vast body of the Father.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
And then feel the truth of it. The contact of God is not oblivion of consciousness. Ecstasy is the awakening of consciousness. The extending of consciousness from the limits of the body to the boundaries of infinity. Watch the bubble of life in the ocean of infinity. We are but figures in a dream, and may some day, when we cease to be actors on the screen of life, we shall realize that we are but shadows, and that the only thing which is real is the life of Christ. Let us send this happy thought to all who are seeking happiness in any way, and who do not know that they are seeking God. You must first all make the effort to meditate. God cannot wait. Let all else wait, but do not keep God waiting for you. Wait no more. Tarry not, lest old age and disease suddenly terminate your life. Again and again, pray in your soul, O Christ, O Lord, come, clear the way, the dust of my indifference. Flood my consciousness with thy consciousness, O Christ. Master, so beautiful and so universal. Let us keep these words and these thoughts with us always. When we come to these teachings, we come for perhaps as at first as a visitor. And all visitors should be treated with kindness and hospitality. And then we think, well, this is interesting. I want to hear more and I want to know more. And we become a student. And we begin to study the lessons. We begin to practice a little bit. And then something inside of us stirs us to an even greater degree. And we realize that through this path, that we might really enter into our oneness with God. And at that point, we accept this path, heart, mind, body, and soul. And at that point, we become a devotee. We become a disciple. And it is not a disciple to an individual. It is a disciple to God. As Mother used to say, God is the master. We are all his disciples. But we take to the path and we cling to that path. We travel that path because it requires absolute dedication and focus of attention. We take the things that are taught to us. We do not say, as one of Lari Mahasya's disciples said, that he finally realized that he was a poor workman who was blaming his tools. We are given the very finest of tools. And so as disciples, we commit ourselves, body, mind, and soul. There are so many who say to me, well, I want to help, I want to do things, I want to come. And yet, days and weeks and years go by, and there is no coming. There is only the empty promise that hangs out there in air someplace. Whenever we commit ourselves to anything and to anybody, we should fulfill it. We should be very careful to make such a promise. But when we make that promise, we should strive with everything inside of us to fulfill it. I tell people when they are going to email me or call me that I will get back to them when I can, because I can't promise always. God has been keeping me in an uplifted state. And when He keeps me in that indrawn state, it's very difficult. Sometimes there may be weeks that go by when I'm not able to respond to email or to phone calls. And then by the time I get around to it, there are so many that it's difficult to get back to them all. But I try, and I go according to how God directs me to go at a particular time. It's a very strange and interesting life that God has put me upon. And I don't serve always in the way that I think that I should be serving. But God takes me, and He lifts me up, and sometimes He puts this body through very difficult circumstances. But one thing should be remembered, that in whatever God puts me through, I feel my oneness with Him. And there are times when this body goes through great pain and great difficulty, and then I get some email or I get some phone call, or God lets me know inside that it is for some individual who is following along on this path or some situation within this world. And I'm happy to serve in whatever way that God gives to me. But He also flows through me in many different ways. He flows through me in absolute bliss, expansive consciousness. As we are driving down here today, I felt that God was flowing through this body and through these nerves as a nectar-like substance that was so sweet and so pervasive, and I thought there is nothing in this world that even comes close to comparing to this nectar that is flowing through this being at this time. And so it is God's sweet will to manifest as He chooses through this form, and in truth it is true for all of us. And if you were to accept in this moment, no matter what state of consciousness you are in, that this is God who is manifesting through you at this time in this particular way, and to accept that completely and wholeheartedly, you would have your oneness with God in this very moment. It is the human mind that prescribes to God, you must come to me in this way, and if it's not this way, then I don't accept you. I don't accept it as you. But the moment you link your experience with God's experience, you have short-circuited the ego. You have created a route around the ego. And now you are directly connected with God. And because you are directly connected with God, whatever flows through you in that moment is your God experience. Accept that completely, and you have your oneness with God even in this moment. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great truth that God showed to me. And this is the thing, is that when you put yourself heart, mind, and soul with God, He gives you everything. God has taken away from me at various times in my life every material thing. And then He gives it all back with interest. And He just keeps on giving in miraculous and marvelous and surprising and delightful ways. And there's no end and no limit to it. And He could take it all away again today, and I wouldn't be disturbed at all, because everything that He gives to me feels as a little responsibility to care for it and to keep it. But if He were to take it from me, then He would alleviate me of all those responsibilities. But if He gives, that's all right too. And so He gives in all of these ways, and He takes it all away. And if we're disturbed by the giving or by the taking, then that is our problem, not God's, because we are looking for perfection in the world and not in Him. Seek this perfection within you always. Do not look through these two eyes. Serve, certainly, as God serves you. There are many people who got upset with Mother Teresa because they tried to form a cause around her, the elimination of poverty and other such things. She said, no, that's not what this is. This is serving Christ in every person that I meet. What a different vision. It is very different. One is serving mammon. One is serving the human only. The other is serving God only. And you serve man by serving God within that man. But that's a very different vision than serving the human. Seek to serve God in everyone that you meet. And God will give what is particular to each individual according to their needs, not always their wants. That they too may be inspired to be lifted up and to seek God within and to find that perfection residing in them. Sometimes God gives us very difficult things to deal with in the outer sense. And it is to turn away our vision from our complete and total reliance upon this world. And not to be as the wealthy man who turns away from the Christ in order to keep a few baubles in this world. When Christ was offering eternal treasure in his Father's kingdom, let us ever be attuned to that and turn our minds to it. And you will find such happiness, such peace, such joy, the very things of the spiritual kingdom. And God will give to you in a material sense. He will see to it that your needs are taken care of. So let us give freely from God's great abundance as it flows through us and out to the world from us. And seek ever to find that unified vision. That it is God, 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 everywhere God manifesting in reality, not through dogma, not through a dogma of the mind, but through realized experience. May this universal vision be now with you and always. Please pray with me, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. God within you. Yesterday during the silence, I had a beautiful vision of Babaji, and behind Babaji was Larhe Mahasya. My immediate prayer to them was that I have the universal vision where I see them in all forms and all creation. The Babaji communed in my mind and conveyed that he wanted it to be known that he is with you, he is with those who follow this path. He blesses you. And he is an activating force for the upliftment of the consciousness and the minds of all devotees. and the feeling of love that came from this great God being. So tremendous, I can't tell you. My deepest heartfelt prayer is that you feel these blessings, you feel this grace, you feel this love, and that it will lift you up as on wings of eagles and soar into the heavens. Om Namaste Om.